Lori, Jenny Minyuk's brother Joe, and Lori, Lord, we pray specifically for them, each of them. You know their needs, God. You know each of their needs. We pray, of course, God, we will pray for healing, but when we pray for healing, we know that that can be in different ways. Be physical, emotional, spiritual. So, God, we leave that with you. And, Lord, we praise you. We praise you, Lord, for Michelle Vickers, who is being obedient to you and going to a place called Panama, where, Lord, we know that it can be, at times, a very dangerous place as the enemy works in the hearts of people. So we pray protection on her and upon her team, Lord, and as she continues to raise funds, Lord, we pray that you would meet those needs, those physical needs. And Lord, we praise you for the safe arrival of Hudson Joseph. And we pray, Lord, for Jeff and Karen as parents, that you would give them wisdom. And Lord, we thank you again that you bring new life into our midst. Even as people, you bring new life. So we rejoice today. We praise you, our Lord, our Savior, and our King. To you be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Wow, wasn't it a great time of worship this morning? Okay, I was wondering how long you'd allow me to stare at you. We're doing a series during this season of Lent, what I call the how-dos. Not, well, what a fine how do you do, but questions that come across, not just during the time of Lent, but as we live. And these series of questions you may have asked sometime in your past, or maybe they will come up as you continue your journey, or maybe you're walking through it right now, one of these questions. But my prayer is that you will grow closer and your relationship with God will deepen as we walk the Calvary Road together. I invite you to turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11, because we're going to do some digging along a gravel path today. Hebrews chapter 11. And tucked neatly away in Hebrews 11 is our answer to our question this morning. And it's so obscure that we somehow can't accept it because it just sounds so simplistic. Maybe you already know what it is. Hebrews chapter 11. I'm going to start at verse 1. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what is visible. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, he still speaks, even though he's dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. How do I please God? Well, we know without faith, it is impossible to please God. So really, there's only one point to my message this morning. One point. A preacher who has one point in a message. I mean, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, boy, we're going to get coffee and cookies sooner. Good luck. How do I please God? Here it is. Have faith. Sounds so simple, doesn't it? Have faith. It sounds so simple, but it is the hardest thing to do is have faith. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. I want you to get this as a backdrop as we answer the question this morning, because there is no clearer explanation of faith in all the scriptures than the one found in Hebrews 11:1. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Say the word sure and the word certain. Right on. Being sure and certain about the right things, the things of God, living in the certainty of God's word. This passage, Hebrews 11, the whole passage, it goes on and reciting the experiences of some of our favorite Bible characters, along with some of the most spectacular events recorded in Scripture. And each case describes the faith of Abraham and Enoch and Abel and Noah, and the certainty of who God is and was carried them through the most trying of circumstances. Each of them were confident that God would never leave them. God would never forsake them. He would simply complete what was necessary through them because of their faith. And as their faith was being stretched, they were being stretched closer to God. Today, some of you, right now, some of you are being stretched. And you don't like the way it makes you feel. But the fact is, you're never going to get into the next realm of faith, or you're never going to have greater faith or more faith or develop your faith or have a stronger faith unless the faith that you have is stretched. You know, I want to talk to you for a moment about muscle building, muscle toning. You can tell I know so much about it. Why are you laughing? I'm surprised you're laughing. I've learned, this may shock you and surprise you, I've learned that I'm really not a he-man. And the Lord makes sure he reminds me of that. And I know you're shattering your image of me, but I don't lift weights and I don't really stretch my muscles properly. I'm trying. But muscles need to be stretched properly, not improperly. And what I also found out is this, that muscle builders stretch their muscles to the extreme. They stretch them so far that the tissue develops and then they start to bulge out. See, that's why when you see those weightlifting competitions, those guys with huge muscles really have kind of stretched their muscles and they're bulging, you know. When I was little, I had a little, you know, you guys play with G.I. Joes, you know. Well, I had this G.I. Joe that you lifted the thing and boosh, this big muscle formed. And I thought as a kid, so I kept on doing this because I thought for sure sometime I get the boom. Still ain't there, I'll gotta assure you that. But some of you, you know what I'm talking about. Others, you, well, we won't even go there this morning, but some of you today, you're here today, and you're bulging from intensive stretching your faith. And others of you, you're just starting to stretch, and you don't really like the way it makes you feel because you just long to be finished the stretching. Everybody say, stretched. Stretched. Sure and certain. Stretched. Yep. You see, Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Now, why is it that God is not pleased unless we have faith? Because he can't do anything for us unless we have faith. Faith is the channel through which we receive from God. We receive through faith. Faith is not the hand that buys the blessings of God. It's the hand that receives the blessings of God. It's the grace of God that has provided his blessings. But it's by the grace, through faith, that we receive. Are you open to receiving? Now think clearly before you answer that question. You may be living in a faith zone right now, being stretched, and you're not liking where you're at, but will you have faith by being sure and certain that God will carry you through the stretching? Faith is a wonderful thing. The disciples said to Jesus back in the book of John, "What must we do to please God?" What is it that God wants from us? What must we do to please God, they said. I think we all want to know that, don't we? God, what is it that you want out of me? What do you expect out of me? What must I do to please you, God? What do I need to do, God, in order to be comfortable in my life again? What do I need to be able to really believe in you? I'm doing what you tell me to, God. I think one of those little messages plays in our head continually. What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do, God? What do you want me to do? Satan comes and he shouts in our ears, "Well, what are you going to do? What are you going to do?" And we're like, I don't know what to do, but I guess I should do something. And that's when the trouble begins, because then we start trying this and trying that. We go to talk with our friends and trying to find out what they did. And we tried that, and we tried this and tried that. All this trying, all of the trying and all of our work, many times we leave out faith. Because we somehow get the idea that we have to make things better. We have to smooth things over. We have to look after the situation. We have to minister more. We have to work it out. More and more of the time, we try to work out what's going on, and we leave out faith. We're not like those first disciples, these men who said to Jesus, what must we do to please God? And Jesus answered them. Listen to this. Jesus said to them, "This is the work that God requires of you, that you believe in the one whom he has sent." Did you get that? You see, we tend to ask that question often. Did you get? Did you get? Did you get? Did you get? Did you get saved? Did you get your answer? Did you get healed? Did you get? Did you get? Did you get? We're not supposed to be trying to get anything. We're supposed to be living by faith and receiving what the grace of God's already done for us. How many of you believe that Jesus Christ did a finished work on the cross over 2,000 years ago, and really everything that we need to live for in victory has already been provided? We just have to learn how to receive. How many believe that the finished work is done? Amen. Completed. Just have to receive. And the Bible says that faith is leaning on God. It's relying on God. It's putting our trust completely in God. And we talked about last series, we talked about trusting God, and we made a commitment as a people. You came, you stood down here, and you said, "I'm going to trust God. God, I trust you." How have you been faring? You promised to trust him more and more. See, without faith, it's impossible to please God, because God's a giver. He's a lover. He wants to give to us. He wants to love us. He wants to do for us. He is not pleased if we won't receive that from him. Question I often ask myself is this: how would I conduct my life if I really believe God is who he says he is, and if I really believe the Bible is his word? See, you need, that's what living by faith is all about, taking God at his word. Maybe you need to ask that question. How would you conduct your life if you really believe God is who he says he is, and if you really believe the Bible is his word? How would that affect the way you do things, the way you do business? How would that affect your giving? How would that affect the way you treat your neighbors, the way you treat your family and your friends? And how does it affect your way, your level of forgiveness, your level of commitment to the church, gathering the saints? How does that affect you? Many Christians, and I know because I've been there, are disappointed with God because we feel that God just let us down. As if he didn't answer right. And I requested, and this was my desire, and God got it all wrong. And so we stop reading our Bible, right? Stop attending church. We stop praying, and in some cases, anger wells up and disappointment sets in and bitterness takes root. And I believe this happens because we're confused about what faith is. And we think faith is a power. We can pray and God's going to do it. But what happens when God doesn't respond? We become disappointed. We become discouraged. Faith isn't a power we tap into. Faith isn't a lasso we slip around God's neck, forces to, you know, come on, do what I want. Faith isn't a button we push. God, wake up. Get this done. Oswald Chambers said it well when he penned these words. He said, faith never knows where it is being led, but it loves and knows the one who is leading. He's leading. It's like this elderly lady. She was well known for her faith, for her boldness in talking about it, yelling it from the rooftops. And she would stand on her porch and she would shout out, she'd say, praise the Lord! And she'd wave and be enthusiastic. Praise the Lord! Next door to her, her neighbor lived an atheist, didn't believe in God, and he would get angry at her proclamation, and he would shout, there ain't no Lord, and she'd shout, praise the Lord, and he'd shout, there ain't no Lord, and she'd shout, praise the Lord, there ain't no Lord. Hard times set in, this poor elderly lady. And so she prayed for God to send her some assistance as she stood on her porch, and she shouted out, praise the Lord, God, I need food, I'm having a hard time, Lord, please, Lord, send me some groceries. Next morning, she went out on the porch, large bag, groceries. And so she shouted, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Got some groceries, Lord. The neighbor jumped from behind a bush and he said, aha, I told you there was no Lord. I bought those groceries. God didn't buy them, I did. The lady started jumping up and down, clapping her hands, and she said, praise the Lord. He not only sent me groceries, but he made the devil pay for them. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yeah. See, if you're not careful, you could... you're not going to buy any more groceries for anybody. But if you're not careful, you can actually turn faith into works. Faith can become your work instead of your rest. Faith is a leaning position. It's a relying position. It's a resting position. Faith is not something you do. It is what you believe in your heart. It may cause you to do things, but in and of itself, it is not a work. Faith is not a work. It's no different than I can work for my salvation. I can't. It's the free gift of God. I can't work for it. And I can't work for anything else that I need God to do for me. I have to believe that it comes strictly by His mercy and by His grace alone. If we would learn to live the same way we got saved, oh, how wonderful it would be. Because the same way that we receive Jesus Christ is the same way we're supposed to live. I believe it says that in Ephesians. We received Him by faith. We must learn to live by faith. Let's learn to walk in faith. How do you walk? Do you put one foot in front of the other? I'm sorry, are you people here? Am I by myself? How do you walk? Do you walk one step at a time? Or a whole bunch of steps at a time? No, you can only go one step at a time, right? And faith, by faith, says Romans 1:17. Live by faith, by faith, by faith. God loves me enough to keep me walking in faith. You see, it seems that there is just enough going on in my life to keep me leaning on God. Isn't that wonderful? It seems like there is always just enough of something that leaves me in a position where I can't handle it if I don't have mega doses of God. He leaves me in a position where I have to lean on Him. I have to rely on Him. And I think that is what He does to us out of His love for us. I mean, many of you, I'm sure, are noticing that in your own life, that God always seems to keep you in some way, shape, or form dependent on Him. And just as you get one issue settled, you may be a bit easy, just life may, oh, great, now I've got it all. Whew. One day goes by and you're, ooh, la, 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 oh, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Yeah. Second day, ooh, la, 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 hallelujah, praise the Lord. Boom, the storm hits and you're like, oh, no, God. Oh, where I wanted you deserted me. Oh, what did I do? Keeps us living in faith. See, I think we tend to assume what happens around our life is how God is interested and involved in our life, and things go well, our health is great, and our finances are solid, and family members are just getting along. We're problem-free. We're so quick to shout out, praise the Lord, hallelujah. Things take a wrong turn. God, where are you? God, have you forgotten about little old me? I thought you loved me, God. See, we're warned by this wonderful Hebrew writer about this, because his original audience made the same mistake 2,000 years ago. He was writing to a group of Jewish Christians who were being persecuted for converting from the Jewish faith. The persecution was so intense that they began to doubt whether they had made the right decision or not. They thought God had abandoned them. They judged God's love and concern for them on the basis of what was happening to them. That even some believers abandoned the faith altogether. So if this is what it means to be a Jewish Christian, I'm not going to believe this way. You may be thinking that right now. Oh, if this is what it means to be a Christian, I'm not going to be able to handle it. Jesus has demonstrated his faithfulness to us in a way that far surpasses bailing us out of pleasant circumstances, that far surpasses answering a prayer or two. The fact that he would die on the cross for our sin settles the question of his love and concern for us. The question of whether or not God loves you and is concerned about you has nothing to do with the circumstances surrounding you right now. That question was settled a long time ago. Amen? You never, regardless of your circumstances, you never, ever have reason to doubt God's love, care, and concern for you. God loves, cares, and is concerned about you as you take one step, another step, another step, and another step. And as you're being stretched beyond what you can believe, you think it's your, I'm at my limit. God doesn't give you more than you can handle. He always provides a way out, right? Faith is the evidence of things unseen. So once you see it, you don't need any more faith. Once I get my healing, I don't need faith. I've got my miracle. I need the faith until I get the answer. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. Faith is wonderful. Faith keeps you cheered up when there's nothing in your circumstances to keep you happy. Faith enables you to hope where all human reason for hope is gone. Faith is what attracts the world to him, because they see in you this unlimited, unending walk that you do step by step by step by step. Let me tell you, things just go haywire when you start to lose your faith. First of all, when you lose your faith, you lose your peace. And then when you lose your peace, you lose your joy. And when you lose your joy, you lose your victory. You can't go forward. You get confused. Nothing makes sense. You lose your rest. But if we just believe, just believe. What he wants us to do is believe. This is the work that God requires of you, only believe. Just believe, Devin. I mean, I got to tell you this story. My mom, I got to tell you what happened last week. I was here Sunday morning. Those of you who were wondering, I was here. And I went home and there's a message from my mother. There's another guilt message. I'm sorry, did I say that out loud? That was a, but anyway, well, no, she knows. I mean, she does it very well. She's, oh, hello. Haven't heard from you guys in a long time. I hope you're not gassed or something. Just wondering, your dad and I are very, very concerned. She hasn't called lately, and, you know. So, you know, I thought, okay, I talked to her yesterday, but, you know, let's have lunch and get through this. So about 3 o'clock, actually, it was 2:57. 2:57 in the afternoon, p.m., not a.m., I was nudged by God to just pick up the phone and dial and phone mom. And so, you know, I dialed the number and it rang and it rang and it rang and it rang. And I thought, okay, the machine's going to cut in because they have this message manager that they don't know how to use. And so, you know, I'm leaving this message. You know, I was going to leave a message. And, you know, all of a sudden, mom picks up the phone, hello. And I joke, you know, oh, I thought maybe you guys were gassed because it just took too long to get to the phone, you know. And she said, oh, Devin, I'm bleeding profusely. I cut my arm very bad. It's severe. We have to go to the clinic. And she's crying on the phone. Oh, no. I thought, oh, Lord, please forgive me. That's why you nudged me at 2:57, right? I said, Mom, don't go to the clinic. Go to the hospital because they're going to send you to the clinic. Don't waste time. Just get to the hospital. See the baby's bleeding all over. Your dad's right, you know, rushing to get, you know. And okay, I got off the phone from that. I told her I was going to be praying. Oh, man. I was thinking, she's going to bleed to death. No, this is going to happen. My dad, I know he's rushing. That means he's going to go 30 kilometers an hour instead of 20. You know, like, you know, he's rushing. And I did all this. I was just processing in my mind. I thought, oh, I'm going to get a call from my brother tonight. Mom passed away. You know, I said, God, just forgive me. I should have talked to Mom. I should, you know, all these things running. And then all of a sudden, I just said, oh, God, I leave it with you. And then I pick it up again, and I leave it with you, and pick it up again, I leave it with you. I said, just leave. An hour and a half later, my mom phoned, and she was, I met the nicest doctor, you know. Oh, he's so sweet. Oh, he gave me 10 stitches. I can't believe it. Oh, he's so great. So, Mom, how did you do the damage on your arm? Oh, I don't know, but it's so great. Oh. I said, what were you doing? Well, I was carrying an orange box. I knew then, oh, no. I said, what were you doing? She said, well, I was carrying this orange box, and it hit me in the arm and bled through my jogging outfit. And I said, Mom, have you got this right? An orange box cut your arm? Yes, I think so. So then my dad gets on the phone and said, Dad, what happened? Like, Mom cut her arm with an orange box? No, she ran into a door with the orange box. So, you know, she just wanted me to believe it was more, you know. But through that, I was processing all the negative stuff, and I didn't have peace until God said, only belief. Just believe, Devin, that I will do the right thing. You maybe need to come to God this morning, and maybe you need to say to Him, I'm going to believe. God, I am going to believe you. Now, I know we've talked about this during the trust series, but have you trusted him? You see, if you really believe that God will do what he has promised to do and will do what he has said he will do, and you believe his word, then you walk by faith, by faith, by faith. I'm going to ask Selma to come and start playing a song called Only Believe, because I got to tell you, God has spoken these words to me over and over and over again. They're found in Mark chapter 9, I believe it is. Only believe. And this song was written, and I clearly hear these words. When I get confused, when I'm discouraged, when I'm wondering, I just say, only believe. Because all things are possible when we believe. Okay? All things are possible, only believe. And we always want to know what to do. And it's usually without faith that we start doing. And we don't please God when we start doing. What he wants us to do is just believe that he is doing. So I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. And And as Selma's playing, she's playing the song, Only Believe, Only Believe. All things are possible, only believe. And I want you to give today, I want you to give whatever it is that you said to God, God, I trust you, but you haven't been trusting God with that. You haven't been believing God for that. You've been saying, wait, I've been stretched so far, I can't handle anymore, I've got to try and fix it myself. But will you believe God to look after it for you? Will you believe that God will take care of it for you? Will you believe that God will give you peace and comfort? Do you believe that God wants to give you abundant living, even more than you could ask or think? Then all he says is, Jesus said, believe in the one whom he has sent. This is pleasing to God. Believe. I don't know when, God. I don't know how, God, but I believe you. If you're saying that to him this morning, God, I believe you. I don't know when, don't know how I'm going to get out of this. I don't know when the stretching is going to stop, but I believe you to carry me through this. I believe you. Just lift your hand. Just lift it up. Lord bless you. 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 God sees all those hands. Lord bless you. 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 The Lord bless you. The Lord bless you. God sees all those hands. The Lord bless you. The Lord bless you. Lord bless you. God sees all those hands. Only believe. God, I'm only going to believe in you for my kids. I'm going to believe you to take care of my children, to take care of my finances. God, I'm going to believe you to take care of my life. I surrender my life to you today, God. You may be a Christian for a number of years, but you've never said to him, I give you everything, God. I give you everything. My car, my home, my finances, my checkbook, my bank account. I give it to you, God, and say, I will only believe that you will lead me to do what I need to do. Will you believe him today? Maybe you're walking through health issues and you're wondering, God, what do I need to do to fix this? He just says, wait, believe. Just believe. And I will lead you properly. Just believe. Because I'm going to look after you. Just believe. Only believe. Well, every head is bowed and every eye is closed. I'm going to ask you, if you're going to say to God this morning, you're dealing with this issue of whether you want to trust him with everything in your life, whether you want to believe that he'll look after everything in your life. While everyone is seated, I just want to ask you to just stand up where you're at. Just stand up. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. Just stand up saying, God, I'm going to leave my finances with you. I'm going to leave my home with you, my children with you, my house with you. All my belongings, God. Everything I leave, it is yours. I only believe that you will lead me, God, how to use this, how to work this out. Just stand where you are. Just stand where you are. I trust you, God, with my kids. I believe you will look after my family. God, I believe that you will look after my ministry. I don't need to even be concerned about it because I just need to believe that you will look after it, God. I believe, Lord, that you will look after my job. I believe that you will look after me, God. Some way you will look after me. I know you will, God, because I trust you. Because all things are possible. Must believe. Everybody stand. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Just stand. And sing that song, Only Believe, Only Believe. All things are possible. Only believe. And make it your prayer this morning. Make it your prayer to God. Say, God, I will only believe, because all things are possible. I will only believe. I want the words up on the screen. I want you to sing this to him. Only believe. The prayer room is open, and you could go in there, you could talk to God, and maybe you need to talk to him about some things that you have just need to give to him and hand over to him, and it could be your health, and could be your children, could be your finances. Take the opportunity to go to the prayer room, and I want to ask the elders and staff just to make yourselves available to pray with people and be with them in the prayer room, and I ask for you to do that this morning. But let's sing to him, Only Believe, and make this your prayer this morning. This is our benediction this morning as we sing Only Believe. Only believe. Thank you.